Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
That is what we do. Dan, we have an announcement, don't we?
We do, and that is that I know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I don't know anything about Alex Jones, and we are going to be doing those two things in public.
Indeed, for the first time ever.
On Saturday, January 20th.
Playground Theater, Chicago.
10:30. That is... Do you want to give out
tickets
the address?
Still available.
Unsure. Who knows?
Might
could
be sold out. By now.
Could be sold out.
It's on the corner of Halsted.
Yeah,
and,
3209
Belmont.
North Halsted. It's Halsted and Belmont. That's where we are going
to
be.
10:30 p.m. I believe tickets are $5. Might be able to sneak in.
Yeah.
Some people probably have a comp
yeah,
or
we'll
two,
probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
who knows? It is BYOB, though.
B-yob.
Keep that on main.
Right, right. That's great. We'll have some beers for folks.
Absolutely.
For one. And also, we'd like to announce that good buddy, hilarious comedian Nate Burrows will be opening up the show, doing some stand-up.
Can't believe we got him.
Yeah, it's very busy schedule.
Yeah.
He is flying back into town. On
nice.
I mean, not for the show.
No, obviously
it just so
not.
Happens
obviously
to
not.
Timing work out that way. But Nate is a hilarious dude, and he's my old partner from
very
the show
funny.
I used to run.
Yeah.
And we're thrilled to have him on board. It's going to be a great time. Everybody should come out. If you can.
Absolutely.
And if you don't.
Please, please come out.
If you don't, I understand. Like if you.
Yeah, no.
You know, Sonia over there in Sweden.
No,
I understand.
Think,
she doesn't have to come.
She needs to be here.
Some of our Australian peeps, they don't need to come. You know?
I disagree.
You think they all need to charter
frankly,
flights?
Frankly, it's more important for them to come because who knows when they'll get to see it again.
That's a fair point.
You
and,
know what?
You know, and to that extent, like if you are around and you can come out, it means a lot. And if people do come out, it will open up the possibility of us doing more of them in the future.
Yeah.
So, you know, this first run is particularly important.
I think what we're saying is, Sonia, if you don't get here, this is the last show.
It's on you.
This is the last show.
It's on you.
It's all you. Everybody is going to be disappointed.
How dare you? How dare you, Jordan?
No, we love Sonia.
Yeah,
it's just a fun... Fun time.
You know who else we love? We love some new donors. That's someone we love.
Perfect. Great transition.
Clunky but smooth transition.
Yes.
I'd like to give a shout out to one of our new donors. Congratulations on becoming a policy wonk, Cody.
I'm a policy wonk.
We appreciate it so much.
Congratulations, Cody Bellinger. Great rookie for the Dodgers. No?
No, I don't know who that is.
He's
I don't keep
a slugger.
Up with baseball
he's
anymore.
He's about hit 38 home runs.
No idea.
Very good.
Also, I'd like to give a congratulations to one of my dearest friends in the wide world, Nikki Gifts, for bumping it up. And he's now a globalist. So
Nikki Gifts!
Congratulations on being a globalist,
shit.
Nick.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 star. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom.
Yeah. Congratulations and thank you so much, Nick.
Thank you so much, Nick.
You're the best. So, Jordan, I want to fill in the audience on how difficult this episode was to make.
Okay.
in right. advance.
We're getting a lot of work done up top.
This episode today was a disaster because we met up last night, you
right.
and I. We had a couple drinks at the bar going over plans for this live show and trying to figure out what are we going to cover.
Right.
And there were a number of possibilities, and the one that I was most excited about was a day. It was May 31st, 2014. And what happened on that day was that Bo Bergdahl got traded with some Guantanamo Bay prisoners.
Right.
And the Slender Man stabbings happened.
Yes. Yes. And simultaneously.
I got really excited about that possibility. I was like, holy shit. I looked over on a calendar and it turns out that that was a Saturday. So that means Sunday when Alex Jones comes back to do his show, he's going to have heard of both of those things, obviously.
He's got a chance.
I'm like, he's going to talk Slender Man.
Right.
This is going to be the best.
Right, right.
And so I tuned
And he's
in.
Going to tie it in with Bo Bergdahl because the Slender Man did negotiate that deal.
No,
we all know
No,
that.
The Slender Man was one of the Guantanamo prisoners that got out.
Well, that's where we got into all this trouble in
exactly,
the first place.
Exactly. I was hoping for something like that. And so I get back from the bar. I'm a little buzzed. Not super drunk, but I'm a little buzzed. And I turn on that episode and I'm like, this is the craziest thing in the world. Because there's a lot of guests.
Uh-huh.
And what it is a murderer's row of Alex Jones fucking lunatics. So we're talking Larry Pratt.
Yes.
He's the head of the way more gun-loving NRA. Citizens with guns or something like that. Yeah. They love it.
Yeah.
So we got that. We got Paul Craig Roberts, who Alex Jones bills as the father of Reaganomics.
He's the father of a thing.
He's ostensibly a survivalist type guy, and he just loves Russia.
Yeah.
So there's that. Then, John Rappaport. Holy shit.
Okay.
Being billed as a media analyst.
Yes, of course.
Right.
Yeah, why wouldn't he be?
Then, cherry on top, Steve Pachenik. I'm like, oh,
We got the whole crew.
I'm like, we accidentally stumbled into the mother load. They've got to talk Slender Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does Steve Pachenik think about the Slender Man?
What does Steve Pachenik think about the Slender Man?
Or at least, what does he fucking think about Bo Bergdahl?
Right.
Because that seems like that's in his wheelhouse.
Right.
It's going to be discussed. You know what they talk about? Elliot Rodger. The guy who ended up shooting up a bunch of people in California because he couldn't get laid.
Right.
That guy.
So the whole time.
A lot of the time. Well, yeah. I mean, Paul Craig Roberts doesn't have time for that BS. He's too old. He wants to just talk about Putin being
right. Right, of course.
But John Rappaport and Steve Pachenik are both talking about how it was fake.
Of course it was.
And it made me so bummed out.
Yeah.
And so I went back.
Yeah, that's not a live episode we want to do.
No.
That's a big, big pile of mass shootings or false flags is not a great live show.
Let's excuse all white crime.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
sort of thing. And so I went back and I listened to a couple.
Our show is a celebration of white crime.
Well, at least a pointing the finger at it. But be that as it may, I went back and I listened to a little bit more. I was like, what did Alex say the day after Elliot Rodger? Because it was like a week earlier.
Right.
I'm like, did he call false flag out the gate? And not really, but over the course of one episode, he does. Anyway, I've learned a lot about his position on Elliot Rodger, and it's a mess. But
of
I was like, I can't use this for the live show because no Slender Man, no Bo Bergdahl.
Which is the entire purpose.
And now I've listened to like 5 hours of Alex Jones talking about Elliot Rodger and I don't want to tell you about it.
No, I don't want to
hear
about it.
If I play those clips for you, you'll storm out. It'll be Arpaio all over again.
It was bad enough to talk about all of the other fucking mass shootings that we've had to talk about.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? So I texted you. I was like, I can't do this. I can't use this episode. So Slender Man's out. That's no good. We'll have to find something else. But for today's episode, to keep up the pace, I was like, just send me a fucking random date. Send me a random date. You send me a Saturday. I'm like, fuck.
Because I'm a failure.
This is a mess.
You put so much disappointment in that you sent me a Saturday.
It was August 11th, 2012 is what you sent me.
Yes.
And so that's a Saturday. And thankfully, because it's a Saturday, a bunch of other episodes near that date show up in the search.
Of course.
For it. And I see the 16th of August, and I'm like, I'm looking at this guest list, and I'm like, we might be able to make this work.
Okay.
And so, without spoiling some guests, we have truly one of the most bizarre things that has ever happened on InfoWars that we have accidentally stumbled into.
Excellent.
And it's actually this episode, which we're going to be going over, August 16th, 2012. Two of the weirdest things ever happen, and one of them involves a guest. The other involves a special report that Alex does that is bananas.
Fantastic.
And I can't wait. I cannot wait to tell you about this.
Fantastic.
So let's just jump into it.
Let's get into it.
This is how Alex Jones starts the show. This is literally the beginning of the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I just got off the phone with Dave Mustaine literally 20 seconds ago. And so I'm going to have to just give these directives here to my folks live on air. Come on in.
Of course.
I need to talk to you as soon as we go to break because Dave Mustaine is going to put a statement out through us. I didn't press him to do that. He just wants to put a statement out through us. I'm sure you've seen the 500 articles, ABC, CBS, everything, New York Daily News about his comments over in Asia. He got back a couple days ago to the U.S., about the shootings could be staged by Obama, and they're taking them out of context and making a big deal out of it. So we need to get that clip, because it was you who put together that radio interview, right? And, you know, the clip I didn't put out just because I didn't want to, even though it had been that big national news, I just kind of made that decision myself. If I do anything, I hold back sometimes. People think I exaggerate.
How are you still going?
He's having an off-air meeting on air.
This?
It's because he had to talk to Dave Mustaine.
I just got off the phone with Dave Mustaine.
Dave Mustaine.
Yes.
Great. So this should introduce that this is a very starfuckery Alex episode.
Yeah.
He's very into how he knows celebrities.
Right.
So, because no one remembers this. So this what happened? No one remembers.
If I recall, if I understand correctly, what happened at this time was Dave Mustaine came out and said Obama false flagged some shootings.
Well, that's what you just took from the clip. You don't remember that happening.
I don't remember that at all. Why would I remember that?
No one remembers Dave Mustaine news. So here's the headline of this story. Dave Mustaine pauses Megadeth concert to share his insane conspiracy theories about the president.
Already, you stop drilling. Mm-hmm. I'm in. Mm-hmm. You hit oil, my friend.
Right. On August 7th, on stage in Singapore, Mustaine added a new wrinkle to his legacy. In a video shot and posted to YouTube by a fan.
His legacy?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
In a video shot and put up to YouTube by a fan that was picked up a week later by a metal news website called Blabbermouth.net, Mustaine pauses between songs to chastise a fan for chucking a Chuck Taylor in his general direction. This stage is holy. What's wrong with you? That's the quote. Talks a little bit about the weather, then accuses the president of the United States of masterminding recent massacres at a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, and the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Quote, my president, here he mimes himself making himself barf, like all serious speakers of truth to power do from time to time. I'm reading this from a Grantland article.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's some chops here. A little bit of side eye. Yeah.
My president is trying to pass a gun ban, so he's staging all of these murders like the Fast and Furious thing down at the border in Aurora, Colorado, and all the people that were killed there. And now the beautiful people at the Sikh temple. Pause. God. I don't know where I'm going to live if America keeps going the way it's going, but it looks like it's turning into Nazi America.
Right.
So,
okay. This is fun because it's strange to me that he would both be like, Obama's false flagging all of us to get rid of guns, while at the same time being like, the Sikh people are a beautiful and wonderful people.
Yeah.
Like, we don't see that type of acceptance and conspiracy theory in the same sentence.
It's rare, but Dave Mustaine is a rare breed.
Dave Mustaine is an interesting Megadether.
False flaggery aside, cause that's nonsense. Fast and Furious is a really complicated thing, but it's...
Wasn't that the one where they, actually gave guns away and then
they allowed guns to be taken across the border by straw cutout, people who were clearly buying them for illegal purposes in Mexico, and ostensibly the idea was that they would have these illegal guns and then they'd be able to roll up the people who ended up taking possession of the guns because they had faith in their own ability to use surveillance and it wouldn't end up leading to the death of a border agent and
discovered that they should not have had faith in their capabilities whatsoever.
Right. And the reason that I say that it's incredibly complicated is I've read a bunch of the emails and the documents that have come out about it that people use to say that it's like a false flag and a setup.
Yeah.
And Eric Holder and the DOJ were just trying to blah, 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 end up false flagging around in order to, get gun bans across. And it just doesn't really work, all that well for a number of reasons. The first of all is that though Fast and Furious, as it was known, started in 2009, it was based on and a continuation of something called Operation Wide Receiver, which was started in 2006 when Alberto Gonzalez was in charge of the DOJ. So this is a long-standing operation that's been happening down in the southwest of America.
Right.
And it had worked to some extent.
Still not a great thing when you're dealing with government running guns.
Nope. I am not happy about it at all. Yeah. I am absolutely not happy about it. But at the same time, I do understand the motivation. I think it's an incredibly misguided way to do things. But from the sense I get, there is a bit of like, okay, this is just dumb law enforcement.
Well, it seems
it's not false flaggery in order to get people killed and demonize guns. It's just, you shouldn't have done that.
It seems like they were like, okay, well, we do stings with prostitutes, so this is kind of the same thing, right?
Right.
This makes sense.
And I'm against those too.
Yeah, exactly.
but be that as it may, I understand people who are against it, cause I'm fairly against it too.
Right.
But I also understand the reasoning for, in extreme situations like that, using maybe unconventional law enforcement techniques. At the same time, I don't know. I can't unpack it. All I know is that Alex Jones is wrong about it.
Well, yeah.
And then Eric Holder he may have lied about it under oath or may have lied about what he knew. And I'm not here to defend Eric Holder either.
Oh, man, I love our government.
Right.
Doesn't matter what team you're on, you're going to lie under oath.
He might have. I don't know. But there's also, you know, there's a possibility that this stuff was going on and he was unaware of it because it predated his time there. It's, I don't know how the organization of these, like, the DOJ goes. There's probably some stuff that goes on that not everybody's aware of.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You have to assume. I mean,
yeah, that
even
sounds
in
right.
Any workplace, there's projects that are going on that the CEO doesn't know about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the compartmentalization of everybody's jobs are. I don't know.
Right.
So I don't know how malicious the lie was, how much it was just omission or whatever. But all the emails that talk about, like, how maybe we can get this to help make regulations about long gun purchases and stuff like that, those are all, like, after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a propaganda campaign to demonize gun owners. But be that as it may, you might not also remember what that Sikh shooting was.
I do not remember that one.
That was one that people forgot about pretty easily. That was in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. There was a gentleman by the name... Gentleman's way too fair.
Yeah.
There was a guy named Wade Michael Page, who was a 40-year-old white dude, and he walked into a Sikh temple, and he shot 6 people and wounded 4 other people.
Right.
They were all pretty old, too. That was something that made... I mean... You know, it's not like age really matters when you're murdering, but it made me really bummed out because everyone was between 39 and 84. So he's killing a bunch of just old people trying to practice their faith.
It's a weird way to put that. It's not like age matters when you're murdering.
It's not. I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't. It's just for some reason that sentence tickled me.
And so it turns out that Wade Michael Page had very deep connections to white supremacist groups.
Sounds reasonable.
He'd been involved in a number of what you might call as white supremacist white power bands. He'd got
bands,
yeah, rock and roll outfits.
Was he a bassist in Megadeth?
nope. He was. He founded the band End Apathy in 2005, and played in the bands Definite Hate and Blue Eyed Devils.
Okay, so they're trying to take that back.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh boy.
He was an army dude. He was in the army, and he ended up getting a general discharge, neither honorable or dishonorable because of a pattern of misconduct.
Seems like it should be dishonorable then.
Drunk driving and, going, absent without leave. That should be a dishonorable discharge.
I call that dishonorable. Yeah. I'm going to say dishonorably discharge him.
Yeah. And so, you know, he ended up, becoming radicalized at some point, maybe already was when he was in the army and then, fell in with white supremacist groups and ended up going to a Sikh temple and, killing 6 people and injuring others, 4 others.
Oh boy.
And the thing that's really super wild is that, like, this part blew my fucking mind.
Yeah.
It's not a positive, but amazing.
Okay.
So there's a guy, Lieutenant Brian Murphy, was the cop who ended up, you know, showing up. And he ended up, I think it was his gun who ended up, like, gut shooting Wade.
Uh-huh.
Wade ended up killing himself after he got shot by the cops.
Yeah, yeah.
But this guy, Brian Murphy, ended up getting shot by this dude. This guy.
Yeah.
This Wade asshole.
Yeah.
He shot him 15 times at close range.
Wait, he shot the cop 15 times?
15 times at close range, including once in the face and once in the back of the head. And the dude survived.
Jesus.
Yeah. Brian Murphy, Lieutenant Brian Murphy survived.
I told you, people can withstand a surprising number of gunshots.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
And so Sikhs for Justice, a New York-based group, pledged a $10,000 award to Murphy. 2 Sikh residents of Yuba City, California, donated another $100,000 to Officer Murphy and praised his bravery.
My God.
So that's just kind of a nice...
That's
just a nice piece of how good these people are,
right,
who respond to such tragedy this way. And I'm not saying all Sikhs, but in this situation,
it's
very nice that guy didn't have to die. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. But anyway, that is what Alex Jones and Dave Mustaine is saying is a false flag.
Right.
And you notice again, mysteriously, it is a white supremacist guy murdering minorities.
White people have never done that.
It's very fascinating to me that never seems to be real in their world. So anyway, let's get on to this next clip. We get some more about Dave Mustaine, and then Alex makes a dumb prediction.
Okay.
You name it, it's being covered. Hundreds of newspapers. Dave Mustaine, was in Asia a few days ago. He's now back in California. Formerly
glad
Metallica,
to know.
Of course, founder of Megadeth. And Dave Mustaine talked about the fact that he thinks Obama may have staged the shootings to get our guns and bring in a police state in Aurora and in Wisconsin. So in Colorado and there. And it's a big national story right now. Also, the writing's on the wall. They're getting ready to dump Biden right now. Because of this okay. thing about black people are going to be put back in chains if Romney gets elected. So that's big news. That's coming up.
That didn't happen.
That I don't think that happened.
No, it didn't happen. So Biden still in play.
Yep.
He did not get dropped.
Nope.
But again, there he says, you know, he's talking about the Wisconsin shootings being specific that, you know, that's part of what Mustaine is talking about. And Mustaine brought up that even in the Singapore comments that he made.
Right.
It's fucking wild. So anyway, there was another shooting or there's another incident. Alex gets into it a little bit here. It's very different situation.
The attack on the Family Research Council not being called terrorism. Obama isn't making statements on somebody saying he was mad about Chick-fil-A and Christians. They went in there and shot some people. And
you're not going to call Dave Mustaine a terrorist.
So there you go. Of course, people with guns were able to stop him.
This is a lie.
I was going to say, that sounds very false.
That is a lie. So one of the reasons, I mean, it's bad and I don't support, the actions of this guy who went into the Family Research Council with a gun. But one of the reasons.
Yeah, we're against all people going all places with guns.
But one of the reasons that it's probably less severe and maybe not seen as a horrible act of terrorism is that no one was killed. I don't think anyone was even seriously injured. And it wasn't a good guy with a gun. Someone wrestled the gun away from the guy.
He was just a good guy.
Well, I mean.
Or a good person.
A good guy who eventually had a gun.
Well, yeah.
I guess. But it wasn't a good guy with a gun that stopped him. It was someone who was brave enough to step up.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think that you need to really, I don't know if it's healthy to glamorize wrestling a gun away from somebody lest people think it's a smart thing to do. But had he not have done that, it probably would have been much worse.
Yeah.
And so I think the reason is just the severity of it is much lower than a Sikh temple, which is obviously targeted for their religious and ethnic minority.
Right.
That multiple people were murdered.
Right.
And a police officer was shot 15 fucking times.
Yeah, that one's more terroristic.
And the guy was a member of a hate group.
That seems like a big part of being a terrorist is having an entire ideology behind you.
And you could easily make the argument, and I'll go along with you halfway at least, that the guy who went into the Family Research Council probably had some sort of like, I mean, maybe he was a part of a left group. Maybe he was part of some left group.
Possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. I read an article, didn't seem like it. It just seemed like it was a guy who didn't like people supporting Chick-fil-A.
That's a little bit of a strong reaction, and that's coming from me.
Well, you know, it has to do more with opposition to gay marriage and stuff like that.
Of course.
Not about
chicken. It wasn't about Chick-fil-A.
Yes. It was about the billboards.
Yeah.
Which we know are brilliant.
Very successful marketing campaign.
So, if you recall correctly, when we talked about Alex's coverage of the Chick-fil-A billboards.
Yes.
He once told you that if you understand this,
you
this
understand
billboard.
Everything.
You understand everything.
Everything.
So now, in the middle of this episode, Alex Jones plays a special report. And I want you to try and guess what this special report is about.
Okay.
I'm going to play this first clip and see if you have any idea what he's about to talk about.
Okay.
Alex Jones here to cover a topic, an issue, that is one of the most important I've ever discussed.
Any ideas?
How Dave Mustaine should never have been kicked out of Metallica?
No, this is a pre-recorded thing. Okay. This is not, he had not gotten off the phone with Mustaine yet.
One of the biggest issues
that
he's ever talked about.
Do you want another clue before you guess?
Sure.
Okay, here you go.
This information is very closely held by governments and elite corporations. They do not want you understanding this.
Okay, so it's both governments and elite corporations.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm guessing it's something about how it keeps us all in chains, right? How it keeps us down?
No, that's what got Biden out.
Oh, okay. Fluoride in the water.
Interesting guess. I'll give you another clue.
large swaths of the global population have no idea the real geopolitical paradigm that we're living in today. Today, we will look at the real forces, the real players in the battle for 21st century global hegemony.
Hegemony. What do you have any idea what he's about to talk about? Do you have any idea?
Technocrats.
I mean, he's always talking about technocrats.
Smallpox. I don't know. This is vague.
I don't know. Let's see if this next clip helps you out.
Okay.
I'm going to break down who really rules the world, how they control the planet, and how they are trying to usher in a world war that is really pointed at the general population.
Globalists?
Well, I mean, duh.
Well, yeah. Okay.
But what do you think is about to happen?
I think it's about to become, I think it's about to be the dumbest, like, here's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the Beef was the most successful ad campaign Wendy's has ever had, and this red-haired bitch, nah.
This is the most important information Alex has ever had to break down. It's closely held information.
Uh-huh.
And it has to do with world wars and the global hegemony that is all acting against all of us at all times. Do you have any idea?
No, of course not.
Okay, get ready for this.
To begin my illustration, I have three different board games here. Chess, the classic game of Risk, as well as Monopoly. And we're going to look at these systems of stylized warfare. And between these three systems, we find the truth of the system that we're living under.
So he's doing an analysis of board games.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right. The most important issue he's ever talked about. The game of Risk and the game of Monopoly.
Why doesn't he throw life in there, too?
I mean, I feel like it's obvious.
Now, in this game, you have to have kids, and that's important because otherwise we're going to have a birth rate cliff.
Let's talk about Settlers of Catan. It's all about resource management, and you know that's what they're trying to control.
Now, in life, boys are blue, girls are pink, and there's a reason.
This isn't Candyland, everybody. We're not going to have fun doing this.
Now, you all want to be rock stars. I understand that. But sometimes you got to be a doctor. It's much more stable.
If you hit a chute or a ladder, you're going to go right back to the bottom.
This is crazy. This is so crazy. I can't even begin to explain to you how much I was like, huh. Like, it indicates to me a couple things. One, Alex needs to fill time.
Yeah.
And then two, he has to think his audience is really stupid. Like, the idea that he's like, okay, I'm going to explain my bizarre theories about, like, globalists.
Right.
Vis-a-vis board games.
I'm just liking how it's like a comic comes up with an open mic riff.
Yeah.
Is they're at their place and they're just kind of looking around at shit.
Oh, no. This is.
Oh, I bet I could talk about board games for a while. Let me take a look at that.
This is Alex did too much, Super Male Vitality on a board game night. And he was sitting there like he was, yacked out of his mind.
I don't want to play hearts again.
He's on cocaine. He's just like, all right, now listen, Monopoly is what tells you the blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And
right,
then,
right.
Then Rob Dew sitting there like, yeesh, I gotta go. And like, I'm not done. So let's.
That's like, that's Patton Oswalt's bit about, being on LSD and like, let me explain Lucky Charms to you. Now, the rainbows and the clovers, they're sweet and they're good for you. Traditional pagan symbols.
Mm-hmm.
But the wheat stuff is a cross and it's all of that stuff. What they're trying to tell you is that the path to good is bland and tasteless, but the path to evil, sweet as hell. Like,
you know what, though? It's that's smarter than
this. Yeah, fair enough.
In this next clip, Alex Jones starts his analysis by talking about chess. And I'm not talking about the Murray Head musical that includes the great song One Night in Bangkok.
All right.
This is the game of chess.
Right.
But I guess that musical was about the game of chess. Anyway, here's Alex.
To begin with, I'm going to use a Lego chess set as a illustration to break down
Lego
primitive forms of government, warfare, and domination. If you look at this set, you
doesn't
notice
even have
there
the
are two sides.
On the
there is the red,
pathetic.
And there is the green, or there is the black, there is the white.
White.
From the beginnings of civilization more than 6,000 years ago.
The white never takes a piece.
Until about 1700.
The black sacrifices.
This was the model of warfare between nations. There were occasional alliances, but by and large, warfare and politics was carried out in a very two-dimensional way.
So he's already off base a little bit there. The idea that for, like, until very recently, alliances didn't play a big role in that's absurd.
Nope.
That's absurd. I mean, all kinds of tribal nations, they have the right to be called nations, would make very complicated arrangements between each other.
Right.
That's this is just reductive.
It goes a long way back, the phrase, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right. And even if you consider, like, he's not even talking about, like, Eastern world.
Right.
Because that's even more crazy.
Well, then he'd have to understand what Go is, and that's never going to happen.
Right. So he's already started off his analysis with a painfully reductive view of conflict over time.
He's a foreign policy wonk.
Yeah. Let's see what he has, what else he has to say about chess.
One area that we see from the ancient chess model that is still used in statecraft by the globalist is the fact that sometimes wars were launched, in the case of the French and the British, against each other when they had rebellions at home. They soon learned it was a way to turn inner anger at the state against a foreign state and to reduce the population of young males that you didn't have jobs for.
How does that relate to chess?
All the pawns.
Mm-hmm.
They're just freeloaders off the economy.
They're unemployed.
That's why you lose all the pawns up top.
Right.
That's why you sacrifice all your pawns, because mm-hmm. then you know that fucking the manufacturing base is going to be strong. That's what I learned from chess.
You got to protect the priest class.
I learned about prosperity from chess.
That's exactly what he's saying. I mean, I guess if you want to do a really wild interpretation of chess, you could say that, but I don't think that relates to jobs.
Well, you know, you're trying to get rid of your religious powers. If you're the globalist, you want to get rid of your bishops. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are causing all of this insurrection.
Yep.
Your knights, they're the ones who are going to lead the charge against you.
Mm-hmm.
And your pawns, that's just the man. That's just people that, you know, the deplorables. That's people you get rid of.
But
so you know what? I'm over on Alex's side right now.
Oh,
I think the globalists have been using chess as their model for global domination for thousands of years.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
In truth, for more than 300 years, the globalists have been financing multiple sides of wars, knowing that conflict destroys nations
and gets countries
deep into debt.
It's hard for me to take this seriously when it's the same voice he uses to sell Beyond Tangy Tangerine, but...
And that is the key. They're financing both sides. And we see this being pioneered by people like the Rothschilds, starting in the 1700s and 1800s, where they would finance sometimes three or four different factions, and it didn't matter who won, because all of them were in debt to them and had societies that were wrecked after the wars.
They were not allowed to pass go and collect $200.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But, like, this we already discussed on the last episode the anti-Semitic nature of his relationship with the Rothschild. And his...
and with chess, apparently.
His belief in anti-Semitic slanders about the history of their family business.
Right.
Shall we say.
Yes.
And so it's difficult to take too much that he says about them seriously. And also, when you look at this history that he's talking about funding both sides of a war, that is true if you believe that everyone is on the same team and they're all globalists.
Right.
Because if you talk about, like, Fred Koch or Prescott Bush or Henry Ford supporting the Nazis
yes.
in World War II, if you conceive of them on the same side as people who supported the Allied powers, then I guess they're controlling both sides.
See, there you go.
But if you don't, if you look at them as conflicting operations that have intertwined business interests so they don't kill each other or whatever, because, you know, they still are running businesses.
Right.
But aren't,
I guess.
But aren't working together in some weird one-world globalist operation.
Unless they are.
But they're not.
Unless they are.
Okay, fine. But this also goes to, like, just the history of you know, kind of stupidly supporting factions in wars you have no business being in.
Yeah.
Which is something that, unfortunately, we have been involved with a lot.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we have a dearth of coups that we've financed and taken over.
Nope. Tons of them.
And our gun manufacturers often sell to everybody.
Well, I mean, Guatemala.
Like in The Last Jedi when Benicio del Toro makes a
very
good.
It.
All right.
But I mean, Guatemala is an example where we funded people we shouldn't have necessarily in bad ways.
Right.
The situation in Bosnia during World War II is insanely an example of that, and Churchill was a piece of shit about it.
I mean, you talk about fucking Kissinger, and then you get into real terrible territory.
Absolutely. So, I mean,
Kissinger directly supported death squads.
He has a fair point if you believe the central premise, and that is that there are globalists and they're all working together.
Right.
If you don't believe that and you think the world's a little more complicated and you think that there are people on both sides running operations and scams and stuff like that to further their own interests that are at odds with each other, then you start to look at the world, I think, in a more realistic way.
Now, Dan, this is the
and
first time...
And that's where it doesn't work in a board game.
This is the first time I have come into this show with something prepared for you. And I'm going to play you a recording of how I explain how Henry Ford, Kissinger, and Chairman Mao are the three main players in the globalist empire.
Okay.
This was the time period where I can't keep this. I can't keep this riff going.
That's fine, because at this point, Alex Jones moves on to Risk.
Let's look at the game of Risk. These are primitive attempts to distill down human conflict and domination into a game you can play in a few hours.
Sure.
Militaries all have basically equal resources, equal numbers of troops, and to enter into the equation some type of random probability, we have dice and we have cards.
Are you reading the rules? What are you doing? What does that have to do with anything?
I like whose plan was it where it's like, I can't understand global conflict. Can we boil it down into a game I can play in a few hours?
Sure.
Well, then there we go.
But we're going to need to have dice and cards.
No!
So that's his analysis.
I don't understand random!
So that's how he brings up Risk, and then he immediately does this.
There is no discussion here on looking at the real model that we are under today. We're going to come back to Risk here in a moment, but first, let's move to the game of Monopoly.
Let's. That's all he says about Risk at this point.
Do you know what? There are a lot of video game, there's a lot of game streamers on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a whole nother career he could just pivot to of just him
describing
playing
board games
Monopoly.
Alone.
I would watch that.
Alone.
I would watch him yell about Monopoly by himself.
One of these days I'm going to beat the bank. So in this next clip, Alex Jones starts talking about Monopoly and immediately fucks it up.
Let me explain to you why bank errors in your favor are actually the issue that the Fed has. Then we need to defund it and go back to the gold standard.
In the game of Monopoly, you have different economic groups or four players that attempt to engage in economic warfare against each other.
Right.
And then be able to create a monopoly or a single entity that is in control of New York City.
Already fucked it up. It's Atlantic City.
It's just New York City.
It's Atlantic City.
Yeah, okay.
Already all fucked
right.
it up, Alex.
Already.
This very famously that game is not based on New York. But good analysis so far. Good analysis. It's those sorts of things that are like, I mean, I when you don't know the basic pieces of something and then you're trying to deeply analyze it so it fits your version of the world.
Right.
It makes me think that you don't care.
No.
You don't care enough to understand your subject matter.
Again, he threw this shit together whenever he was sitting in his study like, oh, I don't have enough time to fill.
Yeah.
To understand the real system.
My kid always wins at Monopoly.
God bless kid.
It's important to combine Monopoly and Risk with an overlay of strategy
on
chess. And this is a key part of the real system we live under today. The founder of the Rockefeller dynasty famously said that competition was a sin.
Now, this is a real quote.
Right.
But it is fairly misunderstood, I believe. From what I can tell, a better way to sort of unpack that quote is the idea that if everybody's competing for the same thing, there's no money in it. And the quote is actually in the context of supporting innovation and changing the model of what you're doing. in order so you're not competing with people.
Yeah.
Everybody can succeed then.
Yeah.
If everybody is trying to innovate and constantly doing other things, they won't be in direct competition with each other.
Right.
Which is in its of itself a sort of spiritual version of competition, but it's really just about, like, if you and I are trying to do literally the exact same thing and my win takes away from you, it's not good for either of us.
Right.
Because I am going to either be motivated on keeping you down, or one of us has to lose. It's nonsense.
So at the same time, he was part of a trust, so.
No, true, true.
You know, but that, I don't really give a fuck.
That quote in particular, though,
yeah.
is something, it's like that, Mao Zedong's political power comes from the barrel of a gun.
Right.
Like, it's just these quotes that are taken, everybody knows them, but they don't really know the context
right.
of them, and don't under, like, Alex is just misusing this. And so, I mean, whatever. That's again, that's Monopoly is in New York kind of stuff. It's just a willful lack of, him engaging with the things he's talking about.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yep. So here's the last clip.
Let's design that board game though, right? So we combine
risk,
Monopoly.
Risk and Monopoly.
Plus Risk. That'd and be, then oh. we just drop a chessboard on top of it.
There's an overlay.
Yeah.
Of chess. I'm in.
Sure.
So here's the last clip. It's a 10-minute special report, but like the last 4 minutes are him just rambling and it has nothing to do with board games anymore.
Okay.
And so here's the last clip where it's sort of pertinent to the report.
So out of these three board games, Monopoly best describes our modern system. But it itself is only two-dimensional. You see, the private Federal Reserve that's owned by six private banks, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bank of America, and others, they always win. You're playing their game. You think you're battling it out for houses and apartments and for Park Place and for the electric company and for the railroad and for the top hat and for the fashion show. But it's the bankers
hat?
That control the politicians. They've got the get out of jail free card and they've got control of the money. The treasury works for them. So the bank always wins. But what happens if a country won't sell? What happens if an African nation won't play the Monopoly game?
Or
what
well, then you got to play
Eastern
chess.
Country doesn't want to be part of the modern bankster system based in London and New York. Well, then that's where Risk comes in.
All right.
Okay. I mean, this is
cockamamie.
I kind of don't disagree with what he's trying to say,
but
I guess. It's silly and stupid.
He then launches into a long thing about, like, paying Al-Qaeda to destabilize countries and all of his narratives like that.
Well, but, that's the chance card.
But, oh, sure. But, like, the part of it that doesn't work is you've established that you're trying to use board games and you keep using board game references and being like, it's just like this.
Right.
You don't pay people to invade countries and Risk.
It's the top hat who's controlling your game.
You're playing it for the top hat. And the bank doesn't win in Monopoly. The bank is not a character in the game. Like, there's no point at which...
Not in the game you're playing.
There's no...
In the game that the banks are playing, they're winning every game of Monopoly, Dan.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
They're taking a profit off of you buying the game Monopoly. This whole thing goes all the way back to the Rockefellers, who are globalists. And let me get back into Chairman Mao.
Right.
All right? This is where we get into the game of Risk.
You know what Chairman Mao's real name is? Milton Bradley. Great leader, Milton Bradley. I just don't know, man. I don't fucking know. I don't know what he's doing, but it tickled me a little bit.
I don't know. This is a delight.
Yeah. So we're done with that. Now we get back.
It's fun to go back to whenever he was just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of refreshing in some ways, but I mean,
admittedly, it is just crazy, but prior to this, we got white people don't commit crimes.
Right.
So there is that.
A literal Nazi white supremacist shot up a Sikh temple, and he's like, it was probably fake.
False flag.
But that one guy who didn't kill anybody who went into the Family Research Council, that
evil.
Guy was a terrorist.
Evil. Terrorist.
Because he was going up against their side.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So that's a point I want to bring home real fucking clear, is that even back then, he still suffered from the same problems that we complain about now.
Yeah.
It's just, it wasn't, no one cared about him back then.
Right.
You know?
Right.
No one was, like, he didn't have a real dangerous effect on people.
And he didn't have the affiliation to the point of subservience with a racist asshole monster.
Petty tyrant.
Yeah.
So now we jump out of the board game analysis, which is unfortunate, but trust me, the rest of the special report isn't worth it.
All right, so we've put the board game away.
And so now we get back to star fuckery about Dave Mustaine.
We've broken down the Legos.
Yes, and in this next clip, we find out why did he play that 10-minute special report that made no sense?
It's a really good question.
Here's why.
There are thousands of articles. Thousands. NBC News.
There aren't thousands.
You name it. Megadeth's Dave Mustaine says Obama is behind deadly shootings. And my name's been brought into this because he talked about the fact that he thinks the president's a criminal and a liar a few weeks ago on the show. I just interviewed Dave Mustaine. That's why we aired a few of our special reports the last 15 minutes.
Because I was doing it then.
I just went over to the TV side.
All right.
And did the interview with Dave. And it's a video interview. He's on the phone. It's video. We're transferring it over. It's about 5 minutes long. We will air it here on the radio, probably right before we go to movie star and TV star and researcher Richard Belzer.
Hell yeah.
Movie star, TV star, researcher.
Researcher.
The Bells.
The Bells. He's written.
Not going to throw comic in there? Not going to throw comedian in there?
You know what's fucked up, man? He was the original opening comic for Saturday Night Live.
I know.
He did audience warm-up. He was in the first ever episode of Saturday Night Live as
and
a
And that's
like,
where
extra.
He began researching things.
He did.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, he's written a couple.
It's because of Chevy Chase.
He's written a couple books about JFK. He's written some UFO books, like conspiracy books. I've read a couple of them. They're fine. They're decent writing. He's at least a pretty engaging writer. I'm not sure if I believe any of them, but we're not going to listen to really any of Richard Belzer on the show because he's on and all it is him talking about JFK stuff.
Right.
And for my money, of things that are covered on Alex Jones's show, JFK is the closest to real. And it's not that interesting to me because Richard Belzer comes in with a lot of specifics and a lot of things that he's looked into and there's a lot of questions that he has. And Alex really can't hang with the specifics, and he just yells stuff.
Right.
And it's not really all that fun. So we're not going to listen to that, but big shout out. What's up, Richard Belzer?
How is it that you exist in all Law and Order universes?
Right, that's really the more important credit.
Yeah.
John Munch. Best TV character ever. How did you get on Arrested Development? You were on The Simpsons. That means cartoons and real life are the same.
The Simpsons and Law and Order SVU.
My throat was starting to hurt, and Alex Jones' impression turned into a robot. So in this
bite my shiny metal ass.
In this next clip, Alex combines a bunch of his narratives and turns them all into like this weird bouillabaisse of First Amendment complaints.
Okay.
But it doesn't really make sense. It has to do with these two shootings.
Like a bouillabaisse.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all.
It's a cold soup. What is wrong with you people?
So we have the Sikh temple shooting. We have that Family Research Council shooting. And they're all sort of combined into one thing along with Chick-fil-A. This is a mess.
Yeah.
This is a cold soup mess.
A cold soup is just ice cream gone wrong. I think that's the truth.
You know,
quote me on that.
President saying he saw multiple, you know, people casing it, witnesses all saying four shooters.
Real quick. First-hand accounts generally are the most unreliable things in terms of tragedies like this.
Yeah,
shootings and things like that.
Witnesses are no good here.
No, generally in the heat of the moment, you misinterpret all kinds of cues and things that you see because you're in shock, your adrenaline is running overcharged.
Yeah, your brain goes haywire.
Yeah, so the idea that some people thought there were four shooters, to me doesn't mean anything, especially since the investigation has been done.
It's a lie.
Right.
False flag.
That's what was reported. We need to look at this. We'd be idiots if we didn't. It's time to stop trusting the system. Now, I'll tell you, this is breaking. Just like with the Dixie Chicks saying they didn't agree with the war. They're trying to cancel his tours. They're trying to persecute Dave Mustaine right now. Like Chick-fil-A.
Because he's bad at chess.
You don't know what Chick-fil-A did. You've got to support the First Amendment with these bullies. Guy went in and shot up the family research group. The Family Research Council yesterday with a bunch of Chick-fil-A stuff saying he was mad at them. Okay, these are terrorists. You've got to support the First Amendment. And we will have that exclusive Dave Mustaine statement.
So
the First Amendment is the boardwalk of amendments.
The guy who shot up the Sikh temple.
False flag.
But the guy who didn't kill anybody at the Family Research Council, terrorist.
That was too false to be a flag.
Too false to quit.
Yeah.
Hey, hey.
Yeah.
So then First Amendment issues are the Dixie Chicks and Dave
but
Mustaine.
But not the Dixie Chicks. Whenever the Dixie Chicks were doing that, he was very, very not happy with the Dixie Chicks.
I don't know, because he hates George Bush too, though. So I mean, it's entirely possible. I'm willing to believe he very well may have been against.
Disagree. They were women speaking.
That is a compelling argument, but I don't know. Without going back to that, I am not willing to make a prediction, because I would not be surprised if he supported the Dixie Chicks because he hated George W. Bush so much.
Sure.
So that's possible. I don't know. But those two things are a little different than Chick-fil-A being like, we don't like gays coming in.
Nope. First Amendment.
I don't feel like it is.
No, it's super not. It's discrimination.
And that's where the libertarian stuff gets muddied in with him, because, I mean, businesses are, like, you run your business and what have you, but it is a public space. It's not a private space, necessarily. And
just, let the free market decide. If you want to put up a sign that says no black people allowed, you know what? The free market is going to be what takes you down. It's definitely not going to be supported by all of your other racist friends.
These people.
Yeah.
You're not going to have Dave Mustaine getting weaved in on it. And then the Dixie Chicks getting thrown in for no reason.
Oh man. Dave Mustaine said, that's a weird thing that Dave Mustaine also said in China at that concert was, have you guys been to this no black people allowed diner over there? It's amazing.
Right. And you know, like in the name of quote unquote free speech, Alex Jones is saying that, you know, whether you agree with it or not, you've got to support Chick-fil-A. I mean, you've got to support Dave Mustaine. And, I think that, I don't see why he wouldn't make that argument based on the logic if someone did say no blacks are allowed in a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
And that troubles me.
I didn't make up that argument on the fly. That is one that you do hear from racists whenever they...
Oh,
like
you mean libertarians.
Sure.
They're against the Civil Rights Act because they think it's encroachment on what businesses can do and stuff like that.
No, libertarianism.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's a very wild system of...
It's just like with this cake situation that's going to the Supreme Court of like, we don't have to bake you a cake because free speech, and it's specifically because you're gay, and you're like, that's where we caught you.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're wrong.
Yeah.
You could have lied. You could have just lied, and everybody would have known that it was discrimination, but we wouldn't have taken it to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Okay. You know?
And actually, a question about literally this situation got Gary Johnson booed. At the libertarian debates.
Right.
Because he was like, I think they should have to make them a cake.
Yeah, I think that's probably... yeah. I think discrimination might be bad, guys. I don't know if you know this or not.
Yeah. It's like, this is not one of those issues.
It's one of those moments where it does look like Gary Johnson goes, are we the bad guys?
It does.
Yeah.
And then it's all the added layer of like, he's probably high right now. And you have this added like, oh man, that would be so scary.
Yeah.
You've got all these libertarians booing you while you're high. Like, ooh.
Okay.
So, before Richard Bells or Hell's Bells comes in, Alex has another guest, a gentleman by the name of Gerald Celente from the Trends Research, whatever. He's a guy who comes on and usually just yells a bunch. And of course it always usually revolves around a common theme, which is, right here.
The real is crashing. The Indian rupee is in the toilet, and they're trying to stop people from buying gold. Oh, and you mentioned that Soros and Paulson are buying up tons of gold. Oh, but they're brilliant. When
I love his voice.
Celente says it, oh, he's a gloom and doomer. Oh, you can't eat gold. Oh, you can't eat gold.
Yeah.
So wait, is Celente, is he saying, like, Alex, why aren't you giving me credit for calling all of this shit? I'm smarter than Soros.
No. He's talking about other people who are like, oh, now Soros is buying gold. We should buy gold. What about when we've been saying it forever?
Right.
Well, it's kind of a problem because you're on a fucking radio show that's run.
Sells gold.
Yeah. It's run by, or it's broadcast by a network, Genesis Communications, that is, run by Ted Anderson, who owns Midas Resources, which sells gold, and he is on the show frequently selling gold, and you always say buy gold whenever you're on the show. Gerald, that's why. Because you're part of a scam operation. That's why. It's not about the gold in itself, per se. It's more...
So when Soros scams people, that's bad. But then they say, Salenti! Salenti!
Mm-hmm.
Salenti! I don't remember my own name most of the time.
I would have the same complaints about George Soros if he was going on a radio show that was run by a gold sale operation and telling people to buy gold.
Well,
have the same complaint.
That was actually the way he helped the Nazis. He made up the whole story about that, and instead he had a radio show where he told Nazis to buy gold.
It was basically like Good Morning Vietnam,
yeah.
But in World War
yes,
II.
Yes, it was exactly like that.
Or like the tragic history of P.G. Woodhouse in World War II.
Or Operation Dumbo Drop.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. So in this, I'm glad you like Gerald Celente's voice because you're about to hear a bunch of it. In this next clip.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, it's just about a minute and a half of what I'm going to describe as Gerald Celente is running hot. He is getting good. He's having a rant. He's in the middle of a rant about these globalists and what have you. And then he's on a roll. And then he gets done with his rant, and Alex doesn't know what to do. The end of this is very, very funny.
Look at this. Stealing at the top. They're robbing us every day. They stuck your mother's house. She's out on the street. Your father ain't got a job. Your brother died in Iraq. What are you, stupid? You're ripping us off at every level, and you're going to play it straight? All of society is rotting out. Because it's rotting from the head of Obama. It's rotting from the head of Bush and Cheney. It's rotten like Romney and Ryan. And you know how I say, Alex, I've been saying it for years since you've known me, that these guys that everybody's sucking up and bowing down to are nothing more than the class presidents and head of the student council. And now they follow their career path.
You got some deep-seated anger in high school.
Then with Paul, little high school altar boy Ryan. It's great. The altar boy and a guy that wears the magic underwear, the Mormon. It's perfect. It's right out of the presidential reality show. Paul Ryan.
He's spraying everywhere.
Hold on, though.
He's spraying bullets all across this nation.
Because you had Romney Ryan, right?
Yep.
And he's like,
Bush, Cheney, Obama, you got them all. The class presidents,
right,
that's who's killing us.
But do you hear what he said there? He said, this is like a reality show president.
Yeah.
Interesting in
hindsight.
He's
a big fan.
Interesting in hindsight.
Loves reality show presidents.
Voted by his classmates who are smarter than everybody else out there as high school kids as the brown noser of the year.
I want to see him dispute a traffic ticket.
It's there. The class president. A guy that never worked a day in his life. Born on third base like Romney and thinks he hits a triple. And people clap like little children.
Him.
All aboard, next train to Auschwitz. That's where this country's going.
He might have gone a little far for me.
Hold on. You got it. You got. It's unfortunate you started laughing because you got to hear this ball drop here.
I'm sorry.
All aboard, next train to Auschwitz. That's where this country's going.
Continue, my brother. You are landed.
Clearly the rant is gone. Long pause. Continue, my brother.
I zoned out there. What? What was that? No, keep going. Let me try and gather my thoughts again.
Gerald, I'm 3/4 of the way through this Subway sandwich. Keep it going, brother.
Keep rolling.
Yeah.
Keep rolling. I'll eat quick.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah,
it's
sure.
It's like when they stop you at airport security. You gotta snarf it down.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, sure. Gerald's shooting on everybody.
He's going to town.
But it got too good to him, and he threw it out to the last train to Auschwitz is coming. And, oh boy.
God. I can't take him seriously. I can't take his voice seriously.
I love it.
The way I know. I'm delighted.
We have
by
to
it.
Use it sparingly
he
on the show.
He could say anything and it would make me laugh.
Almost all the time that he comes on the show, it just ends up him screaming and then it somehow relates back to you should buy gold.
Right.
That's pretty much
right.
The trends that he's forecasting.
Right.
But
too many people are buying this Kardashian app. You know what? The Golden Kardashian apps is fake. It's fake. That's why you gotta buy real gold in the Marvel Heroes of the Universe app. That's a much better game.
They sell it at Midas. So we're entering the home stretch here.
Pokemon Go is ruining this planet.
I wouldn't be surprised if he said that at
some
point.
Yeah, that's true.
We're entering the home stretch. It's a little bit of a shorter episode because there's a lot of, there's a lot of nonsense. He talks about Dave Mustaine pretty much through half of this episode.
Of course.
And then at the end of it, he rushes Richard Belzer off the phone because he realizes, oh shit, we're running out of time. I got to play this statement from Dave Mustaine.
Okay.
And it's just, hey, yeah. It's basically that.
That's a good statement by Mustaine.
He brings
it's far more coherent than most of his are.
It's like Fast and Furious was a thing. They faked the Aurora shooting. Why wouldn't this all be fake? They're just trying to take our guns, blah, blah, blah. It's exactly what you'd expect.
Right.
It's not even worth listening to.
Right.
But something that is worth listening to is they come back, this is not back from commercial yet. This is during the Richard Belzer interview. Something really fucked up happens.
You know, phones. I'm at my friend, I'm with my friend Chris Walken. We're doing a cooking thing for Funny or Die. And Chris's house, he doesn't have a computer or a cell phone. So dig it, Alex. He's not on any of Google's maps.
Dig it, man.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow. Wow. Well, you know,
that's not how that works
to do that
at all.
We can't. You and I can't. We're finished. I mean, we're public now.
So
as opposed to Christopher Walken.
Yeah, who's private.
Very private figure. He doesn't have a computer, so Google can't find out where he is.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Richard Belzer is doing an interview with Alex Jones from Christopher Walken's house. And of course, you know what this leads to.
So, hold on. That means this conversation had to have happened. Hold on, Chris. I gotta go talk to Alex Jones of InfoWars.
And you know what else ends up having to happen?
Chris is going to show up.
Christopher Walken appears on InfoWars.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. Yes. All of it. Inject it into my veins, Dan.
And I got to be clear. It would be easy to think that this is someone doing a Christopher Walken impression. It is not. He is on video.
He's on video.
It is 100% Christopher Walken. And it looks like he's sitting on Richard Belzer's lap.
Which is another reasonable thing that could happen in Christopher Walken's house.
He ends up being on InfoWars for about 4 minutes.
Okay.
And I just have the full clip. We'll have to pause at some points, but like, it is a masterclass in someone who doesn't give a fuck about Alex Jones.
Okay.
Well, I feel like I should say more cowbell here right now. We have Richard on the line with us. He's the author of Dead Wrong, Richard Belzer. You know, TV, movie star, you name it, author,
comedian.
And then he said, I'm here at Christopher Walken's house. And he was talking about how he didn't have a bunch of computers and phones spying on him. And suddenly, Christopher Walken is on our Skype video feed. Let's bring him up right now. Oh, my.
I had to drag him out of bed. That's how much he likes me.
Richard and I are cooking.
Yes.
And we're writing a book.
Right. And we're doing a movie called
The Nose.
The Nose in the River. We're teasing, but we're filming this cooking thing for Funny or Die. So Chris took a picture of my nose, and I took a picture of his nose, and we're going to release that as a short film and hopefully get an Oscar.
You took a snapshot of my nose, but I took
a 4-second movie of my nose.
So
this is gold, Dan. This is radio gold.
You can also just see Alex being like, I do not know how to cut him. I have no idea what to do.
I can't yell. I can't yell at anybody.
No. I respect Christopher Walken too much.
I don't know why.
Plus, there is a calculus you can see him sort of going over in his head. He's like, am I going to be able to swing Christopher Walken? Am I going to be able to get him as a guest? Like Richard Belzer called in willingly to talk about crazy shit with me.
Can I start getting Christopher Walken on InfoWars regularly?
I've got Dave Mustaine.
Right.
I've got the Bells. Now I got to get Walken.
This is a strange guest episode.
Very strange.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
People want to know what celebrities do, Alex. We're not that mysterious.
But we also made a chicken.
We made chicken. We made
sweet potatoes.
He made chicken with sweet potatoes,
pears,
onion,
cooked pears.
This is Grandma explaining
the
things.
Orange seafood melange.
He's a great cook, and I just made the salad.
The orange melange.
Brijol. The orange melange. What's the name of that dish you made?
So they're just talking about...
they're just
There's talk about lunch.
Some nice tomato.
Sure.
I put a little bit of that in there.
Mm-hmm. That's not a great walk-in.
No, it's not a great walk. I wasn't prepared.
No.
The French name.
The seafood. Orange,
no,
the
orange.
The scallop.
Orange.
Orange.
A la Walken. Yes. Alex, you ever come to New York?
I do come occasionally. Why?
Please call us when you come to town.
But Richard made a terrific arugula salad. With
Walken has no time for that shit. Richard Belzer trying to weave Alex in somehow. But Alex, even that, we're like, hey, you ever come to New York?
Why?
Like, as if it's a trap.
Yeah.
Like, some sort of like, you come to New York, you stay away from the, I don't know. We got an arugula salad now.
Yep.
That's in the mix.
Arugula, heirloom tomatoes, shaved parmesan.
Shaved parmesan.
Two kinds of oil, sunflower and, olive oil and a little salt.
And we had a little red wine.
A little red wine.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
They're drunk.
That sounds good.
They're probably drunk.
Alex, great, great ad.
Yeah. Great interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris is a gourmet.
What's your favorite type of red wine, Mr. Walken?
French.
I hear you.
We like the heavy reds.
Oh, wow. Mr. Walken, we are learning Mr. Belzer's views on the world.
Richard and Chris.
Chris, what is your view on what's happening in the world right now with the TSA?
I want to know so bad.
And the groping and the...
Do you think he's going to give him a real answer?
You know what? Absolutely not.
The surveillance grid. I was hearing that you don't have all the little spy gadgets in your house. I envy that.
I have no idea, and I hardly leave the house.
Chris does not. I cook. Read the news.
Richard just gave me his book. I'm going to read it.
Yeah, he'll read my book.
He's not going to read his book.
It's a history book. But Chris is...
But I'm working with Richard on the cooking book. To me, that's...
Right, we're going to do something together. But Chris is brilliant because he doesn't want to be on the Google map, and he doesn't want his phone to have that reverse technology that we all know. Even when it's off, they know where we are. And he's one of the few people I know on the earth that has managed to do that. I mean, we have to do it. We're in media, but... You know, he can go to a movie set. They give him a phone that he can throw away when it's over, when he does a play. It's the coolest. I mean,
does Walken sell drugs?
Phone so that they can
know where he is. But he
showing away my radio/TV show, we're almost invading you right now like an alien probe.
I know. I was taking a nap and Richard called me out and here I am.
This is fake lab. Unbelievable. But Mr. Walken, what do you think of the whole announcement of... that they want to have an Iran war. Do you think that's a bad idea?
I don't know anything about that. He's got a nap, Alex.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Walken.
All right. Thanks.
All right. I'm sorry, Richard, that I brought up serious subjects.
Oh, God.
That was one of the least
thank
successful
you.
Interviews I've ever heard.
Oh.
Christopher Walken loves making chicken with pears and red wine and arugula salad with two kinds of...
He's teasing the cooking show. He's teasing their cooking book.
Mm-hmm.
Their cookbook. It's going to be called Walken to the Bells.
Sure.
I
love that. At the end there, Alex is like, what do you think about them trying to make a war in Iran? And Walken's response was, who? Clearly had no idea who Alex Jones was.
Nope.
No interest in playing.
Doesn't give a fuck.
I was kind of disappointed because when I pulled up the episode and I saw Christopher Walken, I was like, whoa, this could be crazy.
Yeah.
And it is crazy. No matter what, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, no, of course.
But I was kind of hoping it would be a real, like, full interview where Christopher Walken is just like...
I've never wondered what Christopher Walken's political opinions are. Until now, in which I want to know everything he thinks about the world.
I still don't really care. This is good enough for me.
Okay.
That he doesn't care about InfoWars.
Fine.
That's
a good start.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. I mean, after this, they just talk a little bit more about JFK and then they play the Mustaine, statement. And, you know, that's not really all that interesting. So that brings us to the end of, August 16th, 2012.
At the end of the interview, Bells walked into Christopher Walken's room where he's wearing those mm-hmm. blackout headwear.
Yeah.
And Bells is like, "Sir, you're going to read this book about JFK?" And Wacom was like, who?
No.
Not going to do that.
No.
I am napping, and it is, I don't know, 4 in the afternoon right now?
When I take naps, I wake up, and then I cook, and then I don't leave the
house.
Go
back to sleep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Great. Living a great life. Christopher Walken. Gotta love it.
Love me some Christopher Walken.
Making a movie about noses.
Christopher Walken just goes on the set. He's given a burner.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes right back home.
It's one of these things that, like, there's really not much to talk about there. It's fun. It's fun as hell, yeah. But there's not much to talk about outside of Alex being, like, a completely impotent interviewer.
It was a delay.
He got steamrolled by 270-year-old men who just want to talk about food.
The fake starfucker laugh is maybe my favorite.
Oh, between the Mustaine stuff and that, it's just like, this is a disgraceful look for Alex. Like, beautiful. An entire day of being like, celebrities.
Beautiful.
I'm important. They're in my trajectory. He comes back from the next commercial break with Don't Fear the Reaper.
Of course.
So it's more cowbell jokes.
Yep. And yeah, I got it.
It's one day of celebrity worship and board game analysis. It's the most, it's one of the weirdest episodes.
Well, you know what? I think he covered it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got all the subjects he needed to cover.
I would say so.
What else is there in the world besides Dave Mustaine saying some dumb shit?
Right.
Chess and Monopoly and the game Risk are everything.
Right.
And what did Christopher Walken eat today?
And? What does Salenti think about something? Yeah. There you go. That's a show. So thank you all for listening.
Everybody underestimated the movie Prophecy starring Christopher Walken. It was actually surprisingly good. The guy from the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was in it. He played that one guy with the hockey mask.
Casey Jones.
I love hockey.
I'm playing.
The problem with Toronto is there's too much hockey.
I was trying to play the role of Alex Jones chiming in. Casey Jones.
What'd you have to eat?
If you want to check out our website, it's knowledgefight.com, and we will be live at the Playground Theater.
Saturday, January 20th at 10:30 p.m.
Please tell your friends.
Yeah, for some reason, we chose for our first live show a place that seats 150 people.
Which,
God help us, can we get 15?
Yeah.
We'd be happy if anybody was there. Please tell your friends or look,
like we said at the beginning of the show, it is a BYOB situation.
Yeah.
And so if you and your peeps want to have like a booze night on the cheap with the show, it's a perfect example for that.
Or if you like hate your work friends.
And like I said, we are not going to be talking about Elliot Rodger, so it won't,
It won't be too bad.
Maybe.
We'll see.
It would be really great. We would really, really appreciate anybody who helps get the word out to spread some, things on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, we're probably gonna Blues Brother it here pretty soon and get some, sound equipment.
We're gonna go get Chubby Checker.
The car. Yep.
Yeah.
The duck.
Right.
We're gonna get the duck.
Donald the duck.
Yep.
Dunn. Isn't it Donald Dunn? No.
Yeah. Donald the duck Dunn.
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway. Murphy, right? Isn't he in there?
Something like that.
I don't remember all the names of the Blues Brothers band.
Charles Murphy?
Sure, Charlie Murphy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else? We're also on Twitter, knowledge_fight.
Absolutely. You can look us up on iTunes. You can do that there.
Get
us wherever you make your podcast apps listenable.
Also Facebook.
Absolutely. And who do we hate today, Dan?
I hate myself for this episode being so short.
Fuck yourself, Dan.
That doesn't seem fair. Choose somebody else.
Okay. Let's go with, the fucking 24-year-old guy who's in charge of the opioid crisis. Go fuck yourself, that asshole.
Who's this?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
There's a 24-year-old who's in charge of
he's still trying to get his master's degree.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know anything about this. I'm going to have to look into it.
Look into this.
Preemptively, he can fuck himself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.